Drying and curing is one of the most important parts of growing cannabis. For me, drying and curing is a bit of an art form. It does take practice. And, you know, a lot of us in the homegrown environment might not have those ultra ideals that we read about online. You know, not everyone's going to be sitting with a humidifier and a dehumidifier in a controlled room. How do we do it? What's drying and curing? We're going to learn all about that today.
So, Dean, why do you think it is so neglected? Do you think it's just the rush at the end of the harvest? You're like, oh gosh, I'm done with that.
Yeah, I think when people are seeing that crystalline power nag on the end of a grow, you know, they like in your mind, you're like, I've made it. I've made it through the pests.
Yeah.
I've made it through the bad rots. I'm here. You know, I've done it. And then you chop it up and you hang it and you forget about it, dude.
It does happen. I like, you can fully understand. I mean, you've put in so much work to that point and you literally look at it and you're like, okay, obviously, like, duh, it's just drying. Like, put it in the room. And like, also on the other hand, people don't really have these like, you know, these like water moisture testers that you can get quite easily. And they think, you know, it's, and I mean, all the facilities use those kinds of things and they probably go like, oh, I don't have one. So it's, you know, I'll just do it the old fashioned way, let it dry. But I guess as you have more and more volume to dry, there's more and more risk of things going wrong,
right?
Yeah,
it gets harder. It takes up a lot of space. So you've got to have space ready for when the end of harvest comes. You have, if you've done a couple plants or maybe you've grown a couple big plants, you know, like if you've got a 2 kilo tree, that's going to be super hard to hang and dry. So I think the important
what kind of space? In terms of prepping the space, it's obviously a key part and not messing it up. Are you recommending just like line drying or putting it in a tent, or those like dry racks are quite nice with fans?
Yeah, I think
no fans.
If you've got the space, like a good cupboard is always good, you know, but you do have to then get some kind of ventilation going in there. Alternatively, for me, the way that I found to get the best results, once again, like I'm not using a dehumidifier/humidifier. I am using some air movement and a small extractor fan. And then I take a 1.2 by 2 meter grow tent, turn it onto its side. So then it's 2 meters by 1.2 tall. And then I run a whole bunch of lines on it. And then when I'm cutting my plant, I'll physically cut the plant to make sure that there's a sort of a V on each end of the, you know, we've got the bud hanging down, but then I've got a V at the top. So as I'm trimming my plant down, I'm actually thinking about how can I hang this plant, okay? And that's if the plant is larger, it's always better to, if possible, just chop it at the base and hang whole plant, okay? But like a lot of the time, that's not possible. And then I'm hanging in lines as stacked as possible, but still allowing air movement between all the lines as much as possible, making sure that I put my extractor fan onto my backup for load shedding, because when load shedding hits, you know, you and all your air movement cuts out and it's day two of dry, you're sitting there with like 100% humidity in that tent, you know. So if you can't do that, I'd suggest then opening it up, but making sure you've got everything hung super neatly and in an enclosed environment. And then I also like my grow space tends to be a little bit hotter than my living space. So I actually do my drying indoors, like in my lounge area, because it's the coolest and most consistent space in the house. It does stink up the house for 2 weeks or for 7 to 14 days or however long the dry takes. But at the end of the day, that's worth it. You know, a little bit of, just don't invite too many people over during that time, because they're like, smells.
I want to reiterate on one of those points. Obviously, it's just like, you got to bring it back down to its roots of like what you're actually doing when you're coming to the drying phase. Like, you're taking that plant and there's actually a tremendous amount of moisture in that plant. You know, if it comes off the tree to what you're getting dried, you know, it could be a fraction of the percentage is just all that water is leaving, and that water needs to go somewhere. It's coming into the water as water vapor into the air, into the room. And essentially, if you don't use that extractor fan to pull that out, you're now exposing yourself to a massive risk of like damp. And now, because when the water's in the plant, you're fine, it's generally okay. But when the water comes out the plant and the leaves start to sweat in that, especially in that initial phase of drying, like that's where you can develop things like mold. And, you know, like you would never dry fruits and vegetables in like a, a damp, humid. Imagine like dry biltong. You know, you kind of want
that moldy.
Yeah, if you want that off, if that fan goes off, it's a disaster, you know. So, yeah, I just want to reiterate on that moisture level. It's gotta, you've got to take that moisture out. But then, like Dean, you were alluding to, is like, now don't take out too much water. Like, how do you know when to stop? No.
So my new drying method that I actually did this season is I made sure that I didn't have any indoor going so that I could use my tent to do my drying in. Okay, so I was prepared. But then I also grew a whole bunch of different varietals. So stuff was actually finishing at different times. So now all of a sudden I had this sliding scale of, okay, cool, plants being chopped, but then plants being 3 to 4 days dried, and then plants being close to finish drying. So what I did, it's exactly that. You're trying to dry it out to a point, but you're not trying to dry it out so much that it's bone dry, crispy, and then all the terpenes have evaporated off and it's ruined.
Because you can't add the water back, right?
No, you can control the moisture. You can control the moisture in the processing process, but you can't by moving it, say, from the hanging space to what I've been doing. I've been hanging it on its stems in the drying space in the tent for say 4 to 5 days. Then when it's starting to dry out, but I'm bending the stems for the stem test and seeing. So when it's fully dry, the stems should crack slightly. Okay. But I've been, after 4 or 5 days, the plant is still bendable on some of the bigger nuts. But then what I've then been doing is I've been cutting all the buds off the stems. Okay. So literally taking a pair of scissors and cutting between all the little buds to remove the sticks from it. And then you're left just with the individual buds that you're going to, you know, that would then be trimmed normally. And that's called shucking. Okay. But then from the shuck, I've been taking the whole plant and putting it into a drying rack, which I have hung up in another grow tent. So one horizontal grow tent, one vertical grow tent, the drying rack's hanging in the grow tent. And I found if you just take the bud from the tree and you put it into the net, it flattens the one side of it. Okay. So now you've got to like flip it every day. It was too wet for the net. So that's why if you hang it up first, let it do 60% of its drying hanging, and then the remainder of its drying in the net. I found that you're getting this beautiful dry and a uniform dry across the board. Because sometimes if you're hanging it on the stick still, some parts is dry, some parts aren't dry, and it's not this uniform dry across the board. You're wanting to have everything drying out at a very similar speed so that when you jar that stuff up or start to trim, everything's ready. Okay, so stage two would always be kind of just getting that everything shucked, removing all the stick matter, removing all the big fan leaves, and putting it onto the drying rack. And then my third suggestion would always be sort of a processing suggestion, because processing can take quite long, especially if you're doing it yourself. So then I would highly advise white paint buckets. They're like $50 from Mambo's or whatever plastics warehouse, and they're big, you know. And then you take your untrimmed buds when they dry, you put them into a paint bucket, you keep that sealed, you burp it once a day. So this is after about 7 to 12 days, depending on how hot your environment is and you know how dense it was. And then into the paint bucket. And then when I'm ready to trim, I'll literally keep the paint bucket sealed, take a couple buds out, trim those up, and then get more from the paint bucket. But you're constantly having everything controlled and sealed so that it's not drying out. Because if you just got your pile of weed on the table and you're trying to dry through it and it's taking you 2 days, you know, you're going to then ruin all of that weed in that trimming process. Mm. So it's kind of just about having as much control as you can muster using whatever you have at hand in order to dry. But, you know, like if you have a cupboard, that could work. If you've got a tent, it's more ideal. If you've got a controlled pantry area, that's probably the most ideal, you know, but it really depends on what you've got and what you can, you know, this kind of space that you have. But if you're going to go and spend, you know, $30,000 on an indoor grow system, you might as well just invest into some kind of solution. But I must say, during the whole drying process, I pull a piece off and smoke it. Like when it's 5 days dry, I'll try it. When it's like 8 days dry, I'll try it. And that's just because it's like interesting to see how the actual flavor and the effect changes over time. So that's more of like a out of interest sake kind of thing. But what I have found is, you know, if you do a really nice dry, you get it that it's still quite It's not 100% where you want it to be yet, but you're bucketing it up and your bucket is 50% full and you're rotating that every day. And then you start to trim. And then after your trim, you get it jarred up. Within 3 weeks of that jarring date, you've got a beautiful terpene profile if you didn't dry it out too much in those 7 to 14 days. And I mean, a lot of guys on the internet are going to go read about drying and curing, and it's going to say like 14 days dry, you know, and everyone's going to be like, it has to dry for 14 days. And that's a bunch of BS. Like, it dries for as long as that specific plant needs to dry. And you need to look at it every day to see how dry is this plant, you know, physically feel the bud and like feel this bud. Okay, cool. That feels like it's getting relatively dry, but then go down the bigger stems to the larger buds and bend it there and see, okay, cool. There is still a bit of moisture, but I feel this could be dry quite soon. That's a good time to shuck it because you don't want to over dry. Like, I was sick recently and I had a beautiful, beautiful plant that just went 4 or 5 days too long hanging, and like, the whole experience of the plant has changed. You know, it's flaking when it's dry, when I'm trimming it now. The buds are beautiful and dense, and I like shoved everything super tight, you know, and then put a cap on it to try and get some moisture going. But like, it was just too long, you know, 3-4 days and boom, that's a huge plant. It was a massive plant. Dunzos. Well, I mean, I still smoke it, but it's not ideal, you know.
Also to add, like on the time span, it's not just 14 days like set, or 12 days or 13 days, and like, and then furthermore to like how it, you know, how it feels. But like, if you have a specific purpose for it at the end of the drying stage, like at the end of the drying stage, like say you want to do some rosin extraction and it's going into a press, then you might want to actually keep it like not too dry. And if it's going into another extraction method, then you maybe want to make it more dry. So it depends if you want it smokable, you want it like right in the middle. So it also depends on your, you know, what you want to do with it and where it's going to go, and what the end product of this is. I mean, if you're going to put it into edibles, I don't think it really matters. You know, like, I wouldn't be in there checking it every single day for...
Yeah, you're
like,
going to oven it anyway in edibles, you know?
Yes.
But I like that point on the rosin, because like if you've dried too hard on and you want to make rosin, you're just going to press that oil straight back into the dry leaf matter, you know? So like your end goal is highly important. And I think for most people who are growing for flower, you know, you're wanting, there's nothing worse than spending months and months and months and months and thousands of rands growing this thing. And then when you finally show it to your mates, and then they just like take it in their hand and they just crumble
like
it
dusty.
In the dust, you know? Yeah, you want it to go in that grinder and just stick that grinder up, or that pair of scissors needs to be like stuck together, you know, when you flex your season's harvest. So like, it seems like such a minuscule time frame, but personally, for many years, I messed it up in my early days of growing. I'd grow this weed, then I'd hang it up in this garage that was like 30 degrees Celsius. And then I'd get to like smoking the bud, and it's like, I'm like, this is an indoor though, but I did everything, you know, I did everything right. What is wrong here? And it all actually just came down to that I was growing good weed, but I wasn't processing it correctly. So processing now is something that I pay a massive amount. Processing time of year is literally like, you know, you are processing. You don't do anything else. Well, I don't do anything else. I just like process for like 2 weeks straight, because you know, okay, cool. Months from September, I've been working on these plants in the outdoor sense. Now it's, you know, March. I could put in 2 weeks of effort, because I'm only going to be doing this again next September, getting started, you know? So you can ruin your whole year's supply of weed by not paying attention to the drying and the curing process. And just on the curing, we spoke a lot about drying. Nothing better than a 3 or a 5 liter console jar, big boy, fill it up, you know, 3/4 of the way with a little bit of breathing room, seal that bad boy up, label them, which is important. You're not going to remember them all. Open that bad boy once or twice a day. And you'll have dank at the end of the day, but just make sure when it gets into that jar, you've paid attention to that drying process. because I can't get over. I must reiterate that it is highly important.
Yeah, make sure you guys run that last mile hard and don't give up. It's not the end until it's like they're ready to be smoked. Guys, if you enjoyed the episode, make sure to like and subscribe. Leave a comment below if you have any special drying techniques or any special curing techniques. We always love to hear it and we always love to reply. Make sure to check us out every Friday with a new podcast. And until next week, peace, guys.
Peace, guys.